Realm Radio Network, the world's conscious broadcasting network. Live on iTunes and archived on iHeartRadio. The voice of consciousness. And now, join Shea Parker's Best of the Best, offering celebrity guests, lively discussions, hot topics, free psychic readings, and expert guest hosts. Simply the best in spiritual and metaphysical talk radio. Listen live on your phone or device using our universal mobile player. No app needed. Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Find out more at bestamericanpsychics.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Allison Hayes, the Rock Girl, coming to you live from Asheville, North Carolina. And we are doing my show called Empowering Your Wild Within. Actually, it's called The Rock Girl Unleashed, Empowering Your Wild Within. And I always love to talk about people's passion on this show, what you're passionate about. And I like to kind of encourage people to just think about thinking about in empowering your wild within. Just for this show, as you listen to it, think about what you would do if there were no holds barred, if there was no inhibitions or buts or what ifs. And so I was like, just for this hour, to entertain that thought, and then see by the end of the hour if you get any closer to empowering your wild within. And just a quick note about the wild within: you don't have to be crazy, folks. You don't have to leap tall buildings. You don't have to bungee jump out of planes, try and wrangle an alligator. It's just something. The wild within you is that little stir, that little voice that says, what if? Years ago, I had a what if. What if I actually went on the radio? What if I did rock readings on the radio? What if I told people I did rock readings? And, you know, here we are today. So it's just that little glimmer, that little voice in the back of your head, and just pay attention to it every now and then and see what happens. So with that, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Allison. My friends called me The Rock Girl, and you can find me at therockgirl.com. And also, you can find my school, sacredstoneschool.com, where we work with all things metaphysical, especially Reiki, especially rocks, and especially psychic development. However, today I have a special guest on the show. I'll introduce her in just one moment, but if anybody knows me, if anybody is on my Facebook page or even on my fan page on Facebook, you will know that I am a huge animal rescuer. Actually, I've rescued enough right now. I have all the mouths I can feed, but I still am an advocate for adopting, not shopping. That's why I have, we won't even talk about how many cats I have. I have a grumpy little dog, and I have a horse that literally eats my credit card and is eating me out of house and home. However, I wouldn't change it for a minute. And all of my animals were throwaways. They were throwaways. People bought them, threw them out, you know, found them, didn't want them anymore. And I can proudly say that I am a mama of many of throwaways. And so it inspired me to have this lovely woman, her name is Christine Oldham, on my show today. And she has a website called Puppy Secrets. You can actually go to her website, which is www.puppysecret.com. That's PuppySecret.com. And we are going to be talking about how, when you go out there to find your forever furball and your companion, your lifelong companion, you kind of keep things in mind while you're looking. Because if you go out there and you find one that doesn't fit your needs, they are not disposable, people. They are not disposable any more than a child is disposable. And they do cost money. And so it's best to do the research before you do that, in case you want a low-energy dog and you end up with a high-energy dog and then you end up fighting with the dog. But that's what the dog was bred for. So we're going to talk about more of that in a second. So let's first welcome Christine to the show. Christine, welcome to The Rock Girl Unleashed.
Thank you, Allison, and I really appreciate you inviting me to join you. I'm also an advocate rescue. I've homed lots of hand-me-down castaways, you know, rescues for years and years and years. So I'm definitely, you know, of that same line of thinking.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, it's ironic because I'll tell you what I have. I have a purebred Arabian horse with papers, okay? And I have a purebred dachshund, all right? Both of which are purebreds, bred by breeders, and they were cast away. And so, you know, a lot of people out there are like, well, I want a purebred. And so they go out and they buy one. But, you know, I actually rescued, well, I did a lot of animal rescue in New York, and I was a dog walker for many, many years as I was starting my business in the New York, New Jersey area. And a lot of people would get purebred dogs, and they were bred for one thing, like hunting or barking or protecting or being very active, and they would keep them in these apartments in New York City and New Jersey, and they were not good fits. And upon doing further research on these critters, you know, most dogs in shelters are between the ages of about a year and a half and 3 years old. And at least more than half of them, statistics say, are purebreds because they were not matched properly by the people who went and got them. And so, you know, that was an astounding statistic for me when I started really researching about why are there so many dogs in the shelter. And I do a lot of I did a lot of cat rescue, a lot of feral trap and neuter and release when I was up in New Jersey and New York. And when I moved down here to Asheville, North Carolina, the dogs and the cats are, you know, there's backyard breeders everywhere, and puppy mills don't even get me started with that. However, the livestock situation and the horse situation, as far as all of these purebred animals being sent to the kill pen, it's crazy. And they keep breeding and breeding and breeding, and they keep sending these pregnant mares to slaughter. And again, I've seen, I'm part of the purebred Arabian group that raises money for that. And again, people will see that all over my Facebook page. However, you know, there's purebred quarter horse, standard breds, thoroughbreds, all of them. They're all sent off to slaughter to Mexico and Canada. And so, you know, it is a huge, huge passion of mine. And my question to you is, I know your website is puppysecret.com, but you also do some type of you do some kind of puppy or animal communication, correct?
I don't actually do animal communication so far as, you know, that per se. What I do is I teach people how to work with and communicate with their dog. So it's not
okay, so you're just focused on dogs then, because I know that we have chatted before, and I told you about my dog. He's a dachshund, and I call him William the Destroyer. And I know that you offered me a lot of really great insight. We're going to go over your services after break because it's 8:11, and we usually go at 8:15 on break. But I know that you know, you were able to offer me some really great stuff that I thought was quite intuitive. So tell me about what you do. Tell all of us about what you do.
Okay, great. Basically, what I do is, it's, for lack of a better term, it's matchmaking, okay? Uh-huh. And what I do is I have, like, between 75 to 100 questions that where I go on a discovery with, and it's not like an interview, it's more a conversation. But at the same time that I'm talking with them, I'm also tapping into my intuition of basically how they answer the question, because there's a lot that is nested within that answer. And the same thing whenever I'm working with animals. I go with my intuition on, I let it guide me. In other words, I don't think with my head. I use my heart when I'm working on this, because to me it gets me going in the perfect direction. There are a number of different categories. You know, in the discovery process, I go into, you know, the work category, the home, family, social, children, financial, friends, workout, you know, planned puppy activities. There's all different kinds of categories that I go into, and some I go into more in depth than others, depending upon the person, depending upon their interests, their lifestyle, their, you know, regular activities that they're involved in. So it's a combination of, you know, straight, you know, discovery, talking, but also I do let intuition guide me, but I don't, not yet, haven't learned how to actually communicate telepathically with animals.
Oh, okay. Well, I see that in your future. So
awesome.
Yes. Now, Allison the Hayes, a psychic. I guess I was getting ahead of myself. But I do, you know, I ask you that because let's talk about the clairs for a minute. They're the way that you get your psychic information. You know, there's clairvoyant, which is seeing. Then there's audient, which is hearing. Then there's sentience, which is feeling. And there's cognizance, which is knowing. So for some reason, clear knowing just kind of blurts out from me. It's like, blah, 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 like I know something. So I know we chatted before. I've looked over your website, and it just kind of appeals to me that you do animal communications. So with that said, I always have to trust the information that the guides have given me, and you definitely have the gift to be able to communicate with individual critters. So, and it feels like you're going to be expanding not only from that dog realm, the canine realm, but into other realms as well. So let's talk about more about that when we get back from break. We're going to be going to break in just a few minutes. And you hear this music, this lovely background music. It's going to get louder and it's going to go to commercial. So folks, stay tuned. Don't go away. We have some really interesting stuff coming right up after the commercial break.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart, while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Hi, this is Shea Parker, founder of BestAmericanPsychics.com. If you are a professional psychic or medium and are looking for a group of like-minded individuals that are truly supportive of one another, Best American Psychics is the place for you. Or if you're not a psychic, but you're in need of guidance regarding love, money, career, and more, please visit our directory. Each psychic is double tested and approved for accuracy, professionalism, ethics, and more. BestAmericanPsychics.com, a new league of professional psychics.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rock Girl Unleashed, Empowering Your Wild Within. Today, my guest is Christine Oldham of PuppySecret.com, and we're talking about how to make a very responsible and well-researched choice when choosing your lifetime companion. And I stress that to people, if you're going to get a pet, any kind of pet, bird, a cat, dog, a horse, whatever, a turtle, gosh, the turtles live forever. Please be responsible and go into it as a lifetime endeavor as opposed to a form of entertainment. One thing that really gets my goat is when people buy pets for Christmas and then 2 or 3 weeks they're on the rescue list, which, and you know, we're madly posting all over Facebook trying to find homes for them. And Easter has to be the absolute worst when people get Easter bunnies for their kids and then decide to let them in the forest because, after all, that's what rabbits do. And meanwhile, these were raised in a rabbit mill. So, again, please do your research. And the best kind of bunnies to get your children for Easter are chocolate bunnies. So do keep that in mind. Yes, indeed. You can eat them. And if you don't take care of them, then they melt and then you can throw them away, but not the live furry ones. Believe me, I actually used to live in Hoboken, New Jersey, many moons ago, and I saw a bunch of rabbits hopping down the street about 2 weeks after, after Easter, and people just let them out to go eat grass and decided they could go back to the wild. But what they failed to realize is Hoboken is right on the river and there is no wild. So I just shake my head and sigh and say a lot of prayers. So with that said, at least we have Christine to help us help ourselves find the right kind of doggy. So it says puppy secret, but do you also help people place adult dogs?
When you say place adult dogs, I see what you're saying.
Match, yes. Yeah, match adult dogs. So is there a difference between puppies and adult dogs?
There is a difference to a certain extent so far as puppies are a lot more work.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, the thing about adult dogs is sometimes they come with built-in challenges. So it can be a toss-up, 50-50 of time requirements, you know. But the thing is, I always let people know that this is a lifetime commitment, minimum 10 to 15 years, and that they're relying on you. And so the best way to prepare yourself is to be totally candid and honest whenever we're going through the discovery session, because sometimes people will come into it and they'll say, you know, I've always loved a husky or I've always liked a Jack Russell. So they come into it with a certain breed in mind. And then as we're going through the discovery process, Allison, I'll discover things that, ooh, this might not be a good fit because they're pretty sedentary and a Jack Russell wants to be active all the time. So, you know, there's things that we kind of discover, and that's always helpful to let people know at the beginning that it is a long-term commitment and that it requires a lot of candor and honesty. And sometimes people struggle with that in the beginning, but, you know, they do open up. So it's great fun.
Yeah, well, before we get into the nuts and bolts of your website, how did you get in? How did you decide to do this?
Well, that's really interesting. I've always done this, but I never really thought about doing it for a fee. I've always helped other people and given them insight, given them training, gone through different, you know, like when we were talking recently, just giving them tips about, you know, well, when you see this, then this is what they're actually trying to communicate. And so the best way to manage that is, you know, and just give them a little guidance. And a colleague of mine said, I don't know why you're not doing this, you know, for a fee. I would pay you a fee for it the next time I'm going to need a pet. And she said, your insights are so helpful, and it's really simple after you tell me what I need to change or what modification I need to make. But she said, it doesn't occur to me. And she said, it's it would be such a great service. And so a couple years.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, were you always interested in dogs? Did you study the breeds? Like, how do you know so much?
It's a matter of doing different rescues and discovering through having a lot of different breeds and helping other people, being exposed to their breed and, you know, of course, doing research. You know, I'm one of those, you know, I'm a bookworm. I do a lot of research. I'm a perennial student, so I'm always learning. I certainly don't think I know everything. You know, no one could. There's so much to know. I mean, there's over 400 different, you know, breeds recognized in the U.S., so, you know, there's always a lot to learn. It's just something that I'm really passionate about.
Now, where do mixed breeds come in? So, you know, I'm going to ask you about my dog in a little bit to use an example for the listeners. But, you know, I see, you know, there's different breeds on your website, and so you can go and tell people about the breeds. But what if somebody has a mixed breed? How do you help them?
Basically, what I do is I do the research for the breeds that are combined into that pet. And then I work with the owner and with the pet and look at the behaviors and look at what's predominant. Because it's predominant in a purebred doesn't necessarily mean that's always going to be predominant in a mixed breed.
Mm-hmm.
So you really kind of, I mean, you kind of come in with a framework of, well, these are the possibilities, and then you look for what are the strong indicators, and then you work with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's also another interesting point that I was thinking about as I was preparing for this interview, is a lot of dogs have changed over the years, and two that come to mind to me are Labrador Retrievers and German Shepherds. When I was younger, I'm 50, and so when I was a wee thing, you know, I grew up on a farm, and we had, you know, Labrador Retrievers, and my mother was really into Shepherds. And even if when you watch the old, like, police, you know, kind of TV shows from the 70s, German Shepherds looked completely different, and they had a much different vibe than they do today. And labs, oh, my gosh, the only kind of lab that I knew was, like, black lab and yellow lab. And then today there's, like, tons of brown labs. And I used to walk dogs in, like, early, like, 2000s to kind of make, you know, 2002, I think it was, until 7, for 5 years straight, and that's all I did was walk dogs and, you know, kind of start up my business. And I thought, oh, lab, you know, laid back, fun, playful. And I had a lot of brown labs that I walked that were, like, bouncing off the wall. They chewed everything. They were really high energy. And I'm thinking, are these really Labrador Retrievers? Because they looked and acted so differently. Do you find that a lot in your work?
Well, what I have discovered is with the new designer pets, designer dogs that they're coming up with, there's all kinds of new and unique different combinations that they make. And, you know, it's kind of like the Akita. So you have the purebred Akita that originally was bred to guard the Emperor of Japan and work with samurai warriors. And they have a triangular face. And the purebred Akita is all white, except for their nose, and it's black, and their paws. But then you have a separate breed that has come out of that called the American Akita. And we wouldn't even have Akitas today if it weren't for Mori Sawataichi. He was a man who lived back during World War II and had some property up in the mountains in Japan, and the Japanese government made an edict that everyone had to turn in their Akitas because they were going to use them as a resource, if you know what I'm saying. And the Japanese government liked the German Shepherds because they were good at war. And so Mori Sawataichi decided that he was not going to give up his Akitas because he'd always loved them. And so he set up his land that was partially in the mountains and partially on the lower land so that he could keep his Akitas He bought some German Shepherds, Allison, and he mixed some of the German Shepherds.
Oh, that's where the color comes from, yeah.
Okay. With the Akita. And so that's how he was never forced to turn in his Akitas to the government, because they thought they were German Shepherds. Because the other Akitas were kept on a different part of his land. So anyway, there's a book written about that whole thing called The Dog Man by Martha Sherrill, Sherrill. But anyway, it just shows you the power of one, what one man did. And of course, it took his family and, you know, friends and things like that helped, but he's the one who made the decision. But, you know, my point is that, you know, people say, I have a purebred American Akita. Well, you know, it has attributes from the Japanese Akita and the German Shepherd. And so when you have these kind of mixes like that, then it kind of, things kind of congeal uniquely with different breeders. You've got some breeders that will focus on a particular thing, like some Akita breeders focus on the guarding, and some Akita breeders focus on non-barking. Some Akita breeders focus on, you know, confirmation. It's really a bunch of different, you know, and the breeder can control that to a certain extent by, you know, looking at, you know, the dame and you know, how they're going to do the breeding. So, you know, it's like you said with the chocolate lab, where did they come from, you know?
Exactly. Well, we're going to have to go to another commercial break in just a minute, so I don't want to have you cut off. I want to let you know that the music is going to be coming up soon. And then, you know, when it comes up, we go to commercial and we come back. But I'd like to here's the music, there's the music. Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the lab, and then we're going to go into your website help people help themselves in finding a forever companion. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Rock Girl Unleashed, Empowering Your Wild Within. We are on with my special guest, Christine Oldham from PuppySecret.com, talking about how you can find your lifelong companion in a furry critter, dogs especially, on tonight's show anyway. And we like to talk to, Christine, where did you come up with the matchmaking? You're known as the matchmaker of people and their dogs. Where'd that come from?
Well, because the discovery process, it really reminded me of dating, of all the questions
okay.
you ask and what you want to know and what's going to be helpful. And you're looking at lifestyle and activities, and when you're dating, you know, what are the things that are important when you're dating to know that you're going to be compatible? Your activities, your interests, your likes, you know, that's all those are key elements of what helps you click with other people and create that bond. And I think it's important.
That's interesting because some people just like meet each other, fall in love, and then think they can work out the details later, and that doesn't work. And the same thing, if you're sedentary, you don't want an Akita. You know, a lot of people like these furry little puppies, and then they grow up to be protectors or something like that, and they end up in the shelters. So, yeah, that is all very, very important. And so we're going to actually go to your services page here. Everybody, if you're on puppysecret.com, click onto the services page because there are several different services here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to be exact. The basics, the details, one-on-one, special requests, breeder referrals, and coaching session. And so I was looking through this the other night, and the basics is a really great one. I mean, we don't have time to go through all of them. However, the basics says that a question and answer phone call, and it's about a broad overview of natural skills and abilities resulting what is this? I don't have my glasses on. Let's see. It's resulting in something. Oh, a broad overview of natural skills and ability results provide via email and snail mail. So basically, you talk about what their needs are and what they're looking for in a puppy. Is that correct?
Right. I also talk about things, Allison, of including their chores, you know, financially. You know, what kind of a budget do they have set aside? Often, when I ask that question, Allison, I kind of get this dead air space.
Right.
Because they really haven't thought about that. And it's so important because it really helps you in a lot of ways. If you go with a purebred, you know, it might end up costing you more in the beginning, but maybe not over the life of the pet. But if you get a puppy from a puppy mill, you know, the genetics and you know, it could really be devastating financially to be able to care for all the needs that pup is going to need over their life. So that's, pardon me, that just kind of is something that I find very interesting that I guess people aren't looking at term thinking of this is how much it's going to cost. You know, not just the initial outlay, but the medicines and the vet visits and, you know, the leashes and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the present under the tree usually doesn't work out because it ends up costing a life, a lifelong fortune. And, you know, I have a purebred dachshund, and I had a dachshund before, a little miniature dachshund, and he was a rescue, and he was like the best dog that ever lived, and as far as I'm concerned, and he was sweet, and he didn't bark, and he didn't chew, and he didn't pee in the house, and now I have another dachshund, and he was from a reputable breeder, and they bought him for the kids, and then the kids didn't want him anymore, and then they dumped him, but he's only four, and he has bad teeth, bad knees. He's got food aggression, and he's got back problems, and so, you know, you call up the breeder, and you're like, can you help me out, and they're like, no, but, you know, I guess it depends on the breeder, but my other dog, he was wonderful, and I thought, oh, I'll just get another dachshund, and he's a completely different dog. I mean, I love him, don't get me wrong. My first dog was Rudy. And I loved Rudy, and now I have Willie, who looked just like Rudy, but he is definitely a devil. Here you go, help me out here. I didn't want a dog okay, if I come to you as a client and I say, okay, I am active and I like to take him for a walk every day, but you won't find me in the park throwing balls, you know?
Right.
And I like indoor dogs that don't shed a lot. And let's see, they don't shed a lot. I don't want one that barks incessantly. I don't want one that chews. everything, and I don't want one that goes to the bathroom in the house. What would you suggest to me?
Well, I would have quite a few more questions for you, but just off the top of my head, I would be looking at, believe this or not, a poodle. And often people think poodles are foo-foo dogs. You know, they're just, you know, they're just so prissy, and, you know, they're not, there's nothing masculine about a poodle. Well, most people don't realize that poodles were bred to hunt. They're a water dog. Yeah. And they are one of the most intelligent dogs. They are one of the top dogs to be trained to be a therapy dog, which it takes a lot to become a therapy dog, so far as obedience and responsiveness to the handler. And of course, they don't shed. They're non-allergic. And since they are so intelligent, they're very obedient, very obedient. And they, you know, they would not, there would be no accidents, things like that. I do think Willie, though, has some history, and whenever there's history, it's something you work through with them, and you have to see it from their perspective and challenge them mentally to change their paradigm, because until they change their paradigm, they're still going to view the world, their perspective is still going to be whoever it was that taught them whatever that thing is that they're doing that's not so nice, like food aggression, you know, things like that.
Yes. Well, this is a great segue into your coaching sessions. So if, and for anybody out there, Willie is my dachshund now, and he is very cute and he can be endearing, but he is William the Terrible, and I will never, ever get rid of him. I will deal with him. But indeed, the word challenge is definitely there. And so, you know, given the fact that I was, like, madly in love with Rudy, and Rudy, he lived to, you know, he died of old age, I actually adopted him when he was three, and, you know, he was just so happy to have food and a warm blanket that he was very gracious. And Willie came to me as a three-month-old puppy, and he's just entitled. So part of it may be my bad raising him, but he does. So if I came to you and I wanted a coaching session, do you have people who already have dogs who come to you for coaching sessions and kind of have already, you know, done, you know, acquired the dog, and you kind of have to skip the basics, or how does this work?
Yeah, basically, the way it usually happens is that exactly what you're talking about is they've reached that critical point to where they're just, are you kidding me? Seriously? You know, and so then, you know, we start talking about it, and basically we just walk through the issue and talk about what the specifics are, what they know about their background. Often when they're a rescue, you know, you don't have much information about their background. You can just base it on their behavior. And of course, you know, within a particular breed, you're going to have a lot of different personalities. Like with humans, you've got we're all human, might be male, might be female, but there's thousands of different types of personalities that, you know, in different facets. You've got major characteristics that are bred into a particular breed. But then you've got the intricacies of the personality. And then from one breed to the next, you have, you know, different intensities of different characteristics. So you just kind of, you just look at the breed and you look at the best way to approach whatever that particular challenge is that they're facing. And sometimes it just takes a little time, and sometimes it can happen in an instant. It just depends on if you get it. You know, if you get the right mark, if you hit the right spot. Sometimes dogs can be independent, hard-headed, and might not be as receptive. But if you're doing it with love and you're not doing it in a forceful way, they're so much more receptive. And sometimes that's all they're looking for is the acceptance. Normally in a rescue situation, though, Allison, most rescues I've ever rescued and that I've ever met, most of them are just over the top, thankful, oh, my goodness, you love me, I have a forever home.
Yeah.
But not always.
I mean, me personally, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but not always.
Yeah. Well, me personally, I've had the best luck with like 3 or 4 year old animals, cats. I've always adopted adult cats, dogs, and then my horse. And you know, Willie came as a puppy, and I took him to a trainer. I took him to puppy training classes, and they're like, I have never seen a personality like this. He is 18 pounds, and my horse is 1,000 pounds. And that dog can wreak more havoc than my 1,000-pound horse. So, you know, I joke about it, but he is quite a handful. My horse is like a Labrador Retriever, and Willie is like the Tasmanian Devil. I kid thee not. I'm surprised he's not screaming. He knows that we're talking about him, but he likes to bark. But I know that you had told me that dachshunds are very protective, so that was news to me because I didn't do the research. I was just like, you know, oh, there's a dog. It needs a home. I'll take it. But you know, I will never turn away an animal that needs help, but I probably should do more research next time. So, but don't get me wrong, he is cute. Thank God he's cute.
Right. Of course, so, feel free to reach out to me because that's definitely what I love to help people do because it's a heartbreak for the pup, you know, whether they're, you know, an adult dog or not. I just call them a pup. It's hard for the pup, but it's just as hard for the human. You know, people who have to give them up often, not always, but often, it's just as difficult. And in the past, when you've adopted.
Oh, here comes that music. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back right after break, and we'll talk more. All right, folks, don't go away. Be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was 6, my days were spent playing basketball. When I was 6, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was 6, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn to spot a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. I'm Paul George. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Rock Girl Unleashed, Empowering Your Wild Within. We have our fabulous guest, Christine Oldham, on the phone with us today. Check out her website, puppysecret.com, and we have been discussing how to choose the right match. She's known as the puppy matchmaker, and puppy means baby puppy, and it can also mean dog. It's a term of endearment that our friend Christine uses. So I know some people had questions about that, and so she calls them all puppies. Isn't that cute? Yes. So welcome back to the show, Christine.
Thank you. And what was
we were continuing our conversation. Yeah. Sorry about that. There's an echo on this phone. Sorry.
Okay. But when you adopt a pet that's already beyond the two-year, three-year mark, that personality basically has already formed. So some people say, you know, for larger breeds, they haven't even reached adulthood until they're 18 months, sometimes 20 months. And really, the most challenging part of that initial period, Allison, as you probably already know with Willie, is establishing alpha. And it's important to establish that you're the leader in the household, because if they think they're alpha, then they will wreak havoc in your household. And sometimes it's a real challenge. It really can be, especially for, you know, a larger breed, say a real, you know, fluffy, you know, puppy, say a husky. And then it grows up and it's, you know, a large dog or a St. Bernard, you know, a Newfoundlander, you know, very large dogs. And they're so cute and so adorable when they're puppies, but it's very, very difficult, very strong and very difficult to manage as adults if you don't establish, you know, your alpha role at the beginning. Often people don't realize that if you have a dog lay on the same level that you're laying on, they see you as a peer. They don't see you as a
leader. Yes, that's very interesting. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Willie sleeps in his bed on the bottom of on the floor. He's got his own bed. Yes. Yeah, the trainer told me that when I first got him. She's like, don't, you know. But, yeah, there's all these things that we do unwittingly because, you know, I actually went to a really good dog trainer or educator, as she called herself, and not only did she work with Willie, but she worked with me, so I understood how they think and then also what I can do to enable a better relationship. And you're absolutely right. And another thing that you said that is really interesting is, by the time they're three or four, they've established their personality. So, yeah, I think that's probably why my best matches have been adult animals. My only heartbreak in that is that they don't, you know, I missed 3 years of their life. But I'll tell you what, you know, I think the personality match for me at 3 years old, I do. All I have to do is look at them, and then I'll know if we click. So that's
absolutely
interesting point there. So thank you for bringing that up. And so we have about 6 or 7 minutes left in the show, and I just want to encourage people to check out puppysecret.com, and really take a look at this website because it's very unique. I mean, I don't know anybody else out there who does this. And again, there's the homepage, what's Puppy Matchmaker about. About us, which is about Christine, your services, and so on and so on. And it's really, even if you're not thinking about getting a pet right now, it's a great, it's a really great website to go to educate yourself because, like Christine said, you know, she started just kind of helping people out, giving them tips with everything. And so if you go to this website and you review it, you'll learn something. I guarantee you people, you will learn something. And then say you have a friend who is looking for to bring a dog into their family, then you can refer Christine or at least refer them to her website to thinking about some really big questions that they need to know. I mean, what are I want to talk about your other hobby before the end of the show, Christine. So I think that we can talk about the doggy thing for about two more minutes. But can you name 5 points just, you know, that are the big points that people really make the big mistakes with and should keep in mind, even if they aren't going to get a pet, but they know someone who is?
Wow, the 5 things to keep in mind. Of course, the number one thing is, you know, you have to know who's alpha in your family because that's the person who really needs to train and do the most work with your pet. If you're the only person in your family, then great, that's a no-brainer. It's easy to figure that out. The second part is looking at your finances, okay? Looking at...
Yeah, very important, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, what you have to give and the projected timeline that you're looking at for the potential life of that breed. They may live that long. They may live longer. You know, you never... It's humans. You never know.
Right.
The other thing to keep in mind is your fencing. What kind of fencing do you have? If you get an aggressive dog, you definitely don't want to have a chain link fence, because then they're going to have all kinds of triggers. Every time they see something, then they're going to constantly be barking. So it's better to have like a privacy fence. Another thing to keep in mind is if you're looking for a particular breed, say a terrier, you don't want to have a really well manicured yard, because terriers love to dig.
Good point.
Yeah, there's so many things to keep in mind. It's also great if you know people who have dogs and who regularly walk their dog, because then it gives you bonding time not only with your pet but also with your friend when you guys go together.
Mm-hmm. That's a great tip. That's a great tip too. Wow. Well, there's so many nuances that go into bringing a dog into your family, and a lot of people don't even think about that. And so I want to thank you for all of these wonderful tips, and we're going to talk about your other hobby in just a minute. But folks, remember, even if you're not thinking about getting a dog, go to puppysecret.com and start reading, educate yourself, because if it doesn't help, you know, if you love animals, if you love dogs, and even if you don't have one, if you go to this website and you check out her services page and you know, the puppy matchmaker and page and all of this, you can educate yourself so you can help somebody else make a better choice. So it's not just, you know, if it works for you or not. The more you know out there, the more you can also help other people and other pets. So I know I learned a lot from this website and this brief conversation on air with Christine. So again, if you want to learn more, and if you would like to hire Christine and her fabulous wisdom, go to puppysecret.com. All right, we have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and I know that you and I have connected prior to this radio show, and I find you a very interesting creature yourself, Christine, because you have many facets.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome. And your knowledge of the dog breeds and you know, what they do and what to look for is quite broad, and it's also very, very valuable when trying to create that happily ever after. So that's really important. But there's another hobby of yours which I actually find intriguing, and it's crocheting. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I know that, yeah, you sent me beautiful, beautiful pictures of your work, and then I went on your Facebook page, but if you, for some reason they're not showing up. So if people are not your friend, I'm going to friend you right now. But if they're not your friend on your Facebook page, then they can't see them. But what you can do is describe to people what your passion is. One thing that really intrigues me and kind of attracts me to your energy is your passion. You know, this show is all, the Rock, Roll, Unleashed, Inspiring Your World Within is all about finding passion, and you're very, very passionate about many things in your life, and, you know, one of them is Puppy Secret, and the other one is crocheting. So what draws you to crocheting, and why does it ignite your passion? Tell us, please.
I love crocheting because it's very... To me, I find it very relaxing. It's very creative. I do it the way that it was done back in the old world, back in Ireland. And it's very, very tiny. Often when people see my work, Allison, what they say is, that's not crochet. And I'm like, yeah.
I know. I'm looking at your Facebook page. Can I give out your Facebook page to people or no?
Sure, if you want to, but like you said, I have to friend them, so I can just friend them when the request comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's sterling.oldham, right? Or Sterling
yes.
Oldham?
And yes.
That's O-L-D-H-A-M. And, yeah, I was looking at your work, and it's really beautiful. It does not look like the usual crocheted slippers that my grandmother used to wear. It is really it looks almost like a sewn pattern. It's tight and it's beautiful and it's detailed. I'm actually looking at this. I think it's a blanket. It's blue and like a indigo blue and white and red stripe with beige and yellow. Oh, the Snuggly for Lisa, October.
Yes.
That's what it said. I love that one. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is in the majority of the colors is I use Simply Soft because it's machine washable and dryable. The white feels like rabbit fur. It's very, very soft, but also machine
Ooh,
washable and dryable.
Nice.
That particular pattern.
Now, do you
is
sell
called,
these?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Oh. Okay, so they can actually, there's a beautiful baby's christening dress. Well, it looks like it's 8:59, and we're going to have the music, and we're going to be cut off soon. But, people, there's the music. If you want to find Christine Oldham, PuppySecrets.com, and if you want these beautiful crocheted items, then find her at PuppySecrets.com because we don't have time to give out your website for this. But thank you, Christine, for being a guest on my show. It was very interesting, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Thank you for joining us for Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Be sure to tune in next week for more lively discussion topics. Have a great week, and don't forget to check out bestamericanpsychics.com. In case you need some professional, ethical, and accurate psychic advice from the nation's best psychics. Until next week, take care of yourselves.